Today we start a new sermon series called Life Lessons. We'll be looking at some of the parables of Jesus. A parable was a favorite teaching technique used by the rabbis in Israel. And it has a very broad meaning. We usually think of like the Good Samaritan, which tells a story. But they're not all stories. Some of them are long, some of them are short, some of them are proverbs. It's just got a very wide meaning. But often the a parable is a comparison. It's comparing a spiritual truth, the kingdom of God, to something in life or in nature. And that's what we have today. We have two short parables. We're going to be looking at the first one. The first one is about the hidden treasure. And as I read this, you might think, you know, what does this really have to say to my life today? How would I apply this to my life? All right, two parables that Jesus is giving. We're going to look at the first one. And this is the way it goes. What is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which somebody found and hid. Then in joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Back in February 2013, in California, a young couple were out walking their dog in a field. And there was sort of a rusty tin can beginning to protrude out of the earth. And they were curious, and they dug it up to see what it was. It was kind of rusted and everything. But it weighed a ton. It weighed like it was filled with lead. And so they decided they'd take it back home and see what was inside. But on the way home, the lid of this rusted can fell off, and inside were bright, shiny gold coins. And there were seven further cans of coins in that area. They took the coins, put them in a plastic cooler, hid the cooler in a pile of lumber, until they could find someone who would help them deal with this. And what they had found turned out to be the largest find of golden coins to date in this country, worth about $10 million. That's all right. Now, there's something fascinating about finding hidden treasure. Can you remember as a child having, you know, maybe self-made treasure maps where you took so many steps from a stone or so many steps from a tree and there the buried treasure was? And many of us read Robert Louis Stevenson's Treasure Island. When Patty and I were in Africa, there was supposed to be buried treasure in our area. And there were actual expeditions that came through looking for that buried treasure. And there was actually a book about one of those expeditions called A Calabash of Diamonds. And probably there was something to that because way, way, way back, some diamonds had disappeared from the Kimberley mines in South Africa. And they were thought to have been carried and buried in our area. Up in Maine, Maine also had its legends and stories of buried treasure. Captain Kidd, this time, the famous pirate, was supposed to have buried a treasure in what is now Portland, Maine, and also in a cave on Deer Isle. There's a fascination to stories about buried treasure. And this was true in ancient times as well. You know, back in those days, they didn't have banks. So what did you do with your valuables? You buried them so that marauders and thieves and everything couldn't get at them. And this is what Jesus' parable of the hidden treasure is based on. There's a worker out in the field, and he's digging with his spade, and his spade hits something. And what is it? Is it a rock? Is it a clay jar? What is it? It turns out to be buried treasure in a jar. And he, in great joy, he's dancing with joy, he goes and sells everything he has to buy that field. Now, he may be a bit of a rascal, but that's another sermon. So, but what does this parable of the buried treasure say to your life and mine today? At least for me, what it reminds me is that treasure comes in many forms. You know, there's the lottery. If you win the lottery, there's coin. That's one form of treasure. But for me, there's also a treasure that's to be found in, you know, family and friends, and good neighbors. There's treasure to be found in health. And I don't know if any of you have ever seen any of the Blackish TV programs. I haven't seen it for a little while, but they used to have a religious theme program at least once a year. And in one of the programs, the teenage daughter, Zoe, says she doesn't believe in God. And at that time, the mother is having another baby, and they go into the doctor to have a sonogram. And all the family is there. And the doctor cannot find the heartbeat of the baby. And the family is just holding its breath in fear. And then the doctor finds the heartbeat. And Zoe, the one who doesn't believe in God, says, "Thank you, God." And that night, the father is kneeling at bedside, and he prays, "Lord, I lost you for a while. I lost you for a while, but now I've found you. Thank you for having my back." And the wife is also kneeling by the side of the bed, and she says, "Lord, don't let this baby give me stretch marks." There are different forms of treasure, aren't there? And remember what St. Paul said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. The treasure he's talking about is the gospel. The clay pot, the earthen vessel, is the church. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. There's lots of meaning to that word treasure. Another thing about this parable that struck me was, I don't know, what's the reaction of the guy when he's discovered treasure? Is he sad? He He's filled with joy. He's filled with joy. Just think of Antiques Roadshow. You know, when the expert says, hey, that Chinese vase that your aunt gave you at auction is worth how much? $1 million. And how the person responds and says, wow, I didn't know that. Thank you for telling me. Oh, wow. Or think of the fans in Washington this week when the Nationals won the World Series. You know, they were dancing with joy. And so our person who discovers the treasure, he's filled with joy. You know, the good news that God in his love has broken into history in this person, Jesus, is joy. It's worth dancing about. It's worth celebrating. That's a treasure in and of itself. There's something else still that struck me, is that this guy who discovered the treasure didn't mess around, did he? He acts immediately. He goes and sells everything he has to buy that field. Don't put it off. Don't dilly-dally when it comes to the treasure of the gospel. Take God's rule and celebrate it in your life. Now, there's a cautionary tale about a young man who fell in love with a young woman. And she'd sort of passed the news back that she kind of liked him too. But he was scared. He was afraid. He was afraid to ask her out, because he just couldn't take the thought that maybe she might reject him. And he couldn't take that. So what he did, he decided he'd do something a little bit different. He would send this young lady a love letter every day for a year, expressing his feelings. And then a year passed, and he finally built up the courage to call her and ask her out. But do you know what had happened over that year? She had married the mailman. Let that be a cautionary tale. Don't put the gospel off. Recognize its claim upon your life and respond to it. You don't want to be like that guy. Once again, Jesus told this parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. And then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he had and buys that field. It was worth every bit of it. Amen.